The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin live from the Barrage, Barcanada, here at the D, downtown Las Vegas. Still to come this hour. A little later on. And by the way, am I allowed to say Happy New Year yet? Is this officially when we can say Happy New Year?
Yeah, I believe this was the day I allowed it.
You had to cease
saying Merry Christmas.
Oh, no, that was Tuesday we ceased, or Wednesday, the day after.
December 26th, we're allowed.
Yeah. And then December 27th, you said no
more. Now you can start saying Happy New Year's, and that's okay through, when would you say, January? Like, by Wednesday of next week, I don't really want to hear it anymore.
Yeah, the people who say it like on January 10th, not cool.
I mean, that was the whole Curb episode, right? But like, yeah, like January 20th, don't be saying it to me anymore. Like,
is that the Curb episode? The Curb episode I remember is, well, I have to thank him for his service. It's that one. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. And Happy New Year to you and yours. And have a safe New Year's. Kelly will not be here Monday morning, which is New Year's Day, because Kelly will be so involved in his New Year's Eve activities that he might not be able to really perform.
I'm going over to LA. I got to start our documentary on Jason Weingarten going to post offices.
That might be my finest idea ever.
It really was. Yeah. Imagine if you shot it like The Office. You know, we just straight up rip off the name.
It's just every day. Now Jason enters the bank. We'll see what happens. This should be fun. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Bruce Dobigan looking ahead at the schedule for the Pistons. Thinking the Washington Generals in January is a promising spot. Logic 3227, pardon me. NFL just needs to make a new award or give comeback from injury. Name it the Alex Smith Award. I said at the time they should name that award the Alex Smith Award. I mean, because 17 surgeries, came back to start, and 1 week led the league in passing yards. Jamie Leva, No Angles Podcast, laugh emoji, said, I haven't laughed that hard this early in a while. Something magical always happens when the band gets back together. Cheers to you, gentlemen. Wishing you a happy new year. You too, Jamie. Thank you so much. Steven Vegas. Yeah, Steve, I thought this too in my head as we were talking about it. He goes, I wouldn't expect Hamlin to be able to win comeback player next year. It's very likely that he's only on the active roster this year to complete his third year in the NFL. After this season, he'll be eligible for their pension program. Maybe only reason they're carrying him. That might be. I don't want to be cynical, but it might be.
Yep.
I hope he gets to do whatever he wants. If it is football, I hope he gets to play football.
I mean, cynical about his future career prospects, but that's not cynical about, like, I have no problems if the Bills are trying to take care of a guy after something like that.
Oh, no, you not know at I all. Mean? I'd love them for it. Ed at Ed underscore other, he says, we need Todd Wishnev to fly out there every week for the Megapod. Fantastic in person. And how does Will Hill have zero lag? Perfectly timed, and she'll like it too. Interjection had me laughing out loud in public. Well, when we only have one person on the Skype machine, it works out beautifully audio-wise. It's when we have multiple people, then it sounds like everybody's interrupting each other. Right. So, you know, it's tough with the technology. We'll read more tweets coming up. Ladies and gentlemen, he comes to us from under a cloud of smoke in Southern California. Betting, personal interactions with post office employees. It's the great Jason Weingarten at Spreadopedia. How you doing, Jason?
Pretty good. Good morning, guys. How's it going? Happy New Year's.
You too. You have big New Year's Eve plans?
No, you know, I'll probably hang out, go to sleep, get up early, go to the Rose Bowl, Rose Parade, all that stuff.
Do you go to a Rose Parade? Do you really?
I've been that since I was a kid.
I don't get up early enough for the parade, but I usually get up early enough to go over to the Rose Bowl tailgate pretty early.
Oh, and then do you go to the actual game or just the tailgate itself?
Oh, no, I'll go to the game. Okay. I've been going to the game.
You ever been to the Rose Bowl in Pasadena?
Oh, yeah. So I used to live out there when I was a kid,
before
I moved all over the stupid world. we lived out there. It was always one of those, you know, like when your parents trick you into something. Like, I was all excited to go to a Rose Bowl game, but later, like, I'm like, why are we getting up so early? And like, and then before I know, I'm like stuck in a parade. I'm like, I thought we were going to a football game. Like, what's going on? And then, like, you know, eventually we went to the football game, but I was upset. I was upset I had to be at a parade for that long.
Deceptive parents.
You know me, Gil. Like, that was me at like age, like, you know, six or something.
You're
like that.
You're exactly like that today.
I'm excited about there being a bar in a museum that I can go to. That gives me a reason to go to the museum.
That's the only way we can get you to the mob museum is by telling you there's a bar in the basement.
That's right.
He's very, he's a child. We have to deceive him to get him to go places. Jason, remind everybody what you got in week 17 in the NFL.
I got the Packers. I think that line's moved a little bit with the quarterback news. Mm-hmm. And then I laid 5.5 and 6 with the Broncos. And that also right after I got off the air last time had a quarterback change. So I'm on the wrong side of that move, but I still think the Broncos have a good shot. I like it more now at a shorter number at 3 or 3.5. I think that's a huge downgrade, you know, point wise for not much of a difference quarterback wise.
What would you say is your most, this is anecdotal to some degree, but what would you say is your most unconventional NFL opinion right now vis-a-vis the general market?
The Rams having a chance to make some noise in the playoffs. I mean, I'm not sold on the Lions. I've seen how Goff looks in person in big games. I remember seeing him in the Super Bowl. I've never seen a guy with more deer in the headlights look. And I just don't believe that this is a new Jared Goff. It's the same old Jared Goff. I'm not going to trust him in the playoffs. Once you kind of get past the few top teams, maybe outside the Ravens, the 49ers, start asking yourself, well, who's the best team? Who's the real contender? And everybody's got holes. Everybody's got some sort of Achilles heel. I'm pretty excited about the playoffs. I think the NFL playoffs are more wide open than they've been in a while. I kind of started convincing myself the Browns kind of have a shot. I don't know. What do you think about that?
No, you're not alone. I asked that question earlier of Matt Brown. I think a lot of people think that because it sets up favorably for the Browns in terms of the first week of the playoffs, right? They're going to go to the AFC South winner. So they'll probably be favored in that game. I guess they would be against Jacksonville too. I could be wrong about that, but I think they'd be a slight favorite in that game as well. So it sets up nicely for them, but then they would have to play theoretically the Ravens. At that point, it becomes serious. But on any given day with that defense, you never know, right? You never know with that defense.
Yeah.
The Lions are interesting because right now anyway, and this could be the matchup, it will be the Stafford versus Goff game. And that does feel like a game where the pressure would completely be on the Lions, right? And that McVay and Stafford can roll in there and do their thing. So at least for the first round, at least for the wild card round, I hear what you're screaming.
Yeah, I mean, everything resets after the wild card round. But if you're a fringe playoff team and at least you can get in this year, I feel like this year more often, or more likely than past years, you have a better chance to win that wild card game. And then, you take it week by week. You're only 2 weeks away from the Super Bowl by then.
Only 2 weeks away. Yeah, we were talking about Joe Flacco's potential Hall of Fame candidacy if he won the Super Bowl. Let's say the Browns won the Super Bowl this year. He'd almost have to go into the Hall of Fame because he will have won two. And the second one will have been this unbelievable story. And I was comparing him, to the stats of guys like Russell Wilson off air, and we talked about a little on air. I actually compared it to Stafford too. Stafford is probably a Hall of Famer, would you say?
Is one Super Bowl.
It's borderline.
So when you say a guy's a Hall of Famer, like the finalists came out yesterday, and I used to pay more attention to the NFL Hall of Fame, and I had a list at one point. I had projected for like 10, 15 years in the future all the Hall of Fame classes.
Did you really?
And I had and I deleted all the files on my computer and I lost it. And it's one of those things I wasn't going to go back and do a second time.
Yeah.
But when you say a guy's going to make the Hall of Fame, I say, yeah, probably. But I think a lot of times we as people, as football fans, say, oh, this guy's going to make the Hall of Fame and think that means he's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Right.
It's a very crowded ballot. When you look at the 15 finalists this year, and you get only five of them make it. You could easily find 5, 6, 8 guys. And a lot of these guys, Stafford, Flacco, whoever, they'll eventually get opportunities, but it's such a stacked ballot that a lot of these guys have a weight ahead of them. They're not
100%, 100%. And positions are treated differently, right? The reason that it's interesting with quarterbacks is if you win Super Bowls, multiple Super Bowls as a quarterback, it's kind of a lock. Whereas, you know, again, I always use the Art Monk comparison. If you're a wide receiver, it's notoriously difficult for you to get in. And Art Monk, you know, I remember he retired with the most receptions ever in the history of the NFL, and it took him 9 years to get in. So let me get this straight. There's a position where you're supposed to catch footballs. He had the most, and it took him 9 years. It's ridiculous, right? All this stuff is subjective.
Andre Johnson, Reggie Wayne. There's another guy I'm skipping off the top of my head, but the line for getting into the Hall of Fame at wide receiver right now has a very long, you know, backlog when guys like Andre Johnson and Reggie Wayne are still kind of waiting their turn.
Among the finalists, among the finalists this year, Antonio Gates, the standout tight end for the Chargers, Devin Hester, great return man. Torrey Holt is one of them, the aforementioned Julius Peppers, the great defender who played for the Panthers, the Bears, and the Packers, and Reggie Wayne, among others. Darren Woodson, really stacked. Stacked finalists, 15 of them, and they're all great. All right, last thing, Jason, 45 seconds. Do you have a baseball thought well into the offseason that might be different than conventional wisdom right now? Is there an award market you're thinking about?
I have not started looking at the awards markets. It's just so early to start piling into those. Thought-wise, I mean, obviously it's NL, it's Dodgers or bust, you know, like, it's hard for me to try to play like, oh, well, I want the Braves. I want somebody else there. Guess where you're going to find value this year is the American League. I'll tell you the team I like who's been doing stuff this offseason so far is the Royals. I don't think that necessarily means they're a playoff team, but I've been following their stuff, and I'm like, hey, I don't mind the moves they're making. So keep an eye on the Royals. Maybe they'll surprise to the upside.
We'll file that away. Jason, Happy New Year. Enjoy, man. Thank you.
Happy New Year. I'll talk to you guys later.
At Spreadopedia for Jason, of course. Kelly and I will come back for NFL on the other side. It's a numbers game at Visa, Esports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data. Want to know where the money and bets are moving every NFL or bowl game? Well, the betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. We're always improving our betting splits and recently added soccer betting splits from around the globe. Betting splits, another way that VSiN is here to make you smarter, better year-round. Check them out all today's betting splits for every game at vsin.com/splits. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, live from Barcanada here at the D, the Barrage, downtown Las Vegas.
For example, Gil, you could go see Italian Serie A out there right now and check out the splits for Cagliari and Empoli.
You okay? You just had a medical event? You all right?
I'm just reading off Italian soccer matches today.
Okay. Worried about you for a second. You know what the low key best part of that last segment was with Jason?
What's that?
What was the part I should have seized on it in the moment, but I just let it go. But it is really, in retrospect, the best part of that segment when Jason casually threw out, you know, I used to have a spreadsheet where I projected.
Oh, 15 that didn't surprise me at all, though. Like, I don't know.
15 years out of NFL Hall of Famers.
See, 3 years ago, that would have surprised me to hear out of anyone's mouth. Jason, but even Jason now, not at all.
Come on. Fact that he did a whole thing on when these guys retired, projected 5 years from there, and then did that kind of thing.
You know what I was doing for like multiple minutes during that segment? I don't know why I forgot to bring this up to you either after the show yesterday or before the show today. Did you notice when Jason was last on and we were talking about his antics at the post office, right? We had two, three postal workers tweet in.
Yes.
Which then then I'm like starting to crunch the numbers. Like yesterday in my mind was randomly driving around. I'm like, we had multiple postal workers tweet in about this. Like we always talk about, we love you guys, love the whole audience, love everybody tweeting in. I mean, if we've got that many postal workers listening
we must have billions of listeners. Well, I mean, look, we had 17 graces this morning.
That's right. That's right. Well, our tweets get liked all the time.
Like 18 Annabelles.
I mean, that mail demo, I don't know what they're talking about. Yeah, this is mainly...
Ever since Elon Musk took over, it's amazing how many same-name girls we have.
So many more female listeners to our show.
We get tweets. Chance Copperpot, 60th place in my contest at 49, 29, and 2. I'd be 134th. If it were circa, I just want to thank you guys for guessing lines. I do the same exercise on my own now. Guess the lines and pick the games with the biggest discrepancy. The NFL season has been kind to me. Good for you, by the way.
Yeah,
by the way, if you were in 134th place with 2 weeks left, meaning 10 games left to pick, you would just be on the cusp of the money.
Yeah.
You'd have plenty of time to get into the top 100 and try to get as high as possible.
Or plenty of time to...
Six figures for each of the top tens, I believe. Or plenty of time to screw it up.
Yeah. Chance, I think this is the one he DM'd me about over the weekend. And he was riding with the Ravens to close it out, which I was, you know, I gave him the whole DM back of like, hey, good luck, rooting for you. But in my mind, I was really like, no, I hope the Niners are going to smash him. Clearly, I was wrong, and Chance was right.
Over the levee, Wilson Hilson, a.k.a. Will Hill, made an excellent case for taking the Bills to win the division. I liked Ravens over Dolphins, but the better value was taking Buffalo to win the division. Got that ticket straight and tied it into Alabama money line. You excited for the national semifinals, the national invitational semifinals?
Sure.
When is Florida State playing in those again?
I don't even know.
Oh, I'm being told that they're not. And Tom Steffen. Well, maybe Art.
When they're
Tom Steffen, how dare you? He says, well, maybe Art Monk would have gotten in sooner if he just had that signature catch. Tom, you and I are going to have words after the show. I'm just going to tell you that right now. Okay. I'll let you know, and we'll let you know what we have, Kelly and I, because we haven't had a chance to talk about it yet today. But this is what I have bet already. Some of these you will know from guessing lines from Monday. Some of this will be solidified if you listen to the Beating the Book Megapod as well. But as I mentioned with Matt Brown, this has been such an interesting... Well, we said this off air, actually. This has been such an interesting year because, first of all, it's been a good year. Again, on the Megapod, I'm 32-15-1, which is just a great year.
Crushing it there.
But
it really does. I almost hate hearing that, by the way, because I always think about like when we do Circa Millions every year, you always know in the back of your head that fourth, fifth pick, especially fourth and fifth pick, kill you.
I'm not like Chance said he's 134th. I'm not close to that because I can't get to 60%. 67% on the Megapod picking three. Can't get to 60% picking five.
I feel, without checking any of my stuff, I feel like I am lifetime like 9 and like 132 on that fifth pick for Circa Millions.
It feels that way. And I was also saying every season of any sport has its own feel betting wise. But this football season, usually in the past, I can't tell you how many guessing lines I would do with Chrissy. And I would be like, oh, I like way too much this week. And that was always a bad sign.
Mm-hmm.
This is the year when I liked everything. It went well. And the 2 weeks where I'm like, oh, no, I don't like anything. It did manifest into 2-0-5.
Yeah.
So it's been weird in that way. Here's what I have in pocket. I've bet these all. Cowboys -5.5 against Detroit. It's Cowboys at home. I think Detroit's going to be on that natural high of having won the division. And I think the Cowboys bounce back from their loss to the Dolphins here and get it done. Is not the best of it. At one point yesterday, the Cowboys were -4. I know it lasted only for a short time, but I'm at -5.5. I also bet the Ravens -4 and then doubled back on them when it got to 3 and bet them again. Ravens hosting the Dolphins again. This is the game for the number one seed, really. Well, I shouldn't say that because if the Dolphins win, they will have the temporary lead for the number one seed, but then the Dolphins got to go play the Bills anyway.
Right. We didn't address this with Matt directly, but I'm surprised more on that there was enough Dolphins love to even drive this back down. I'm more surprised by that than the Lions.
I agree with you completely. Here's the one that I am now the least. This is the one I like the least of the bets I've made.
The Sniffles.
Cardinals +11. Because he's got the sniffles, right?
He's got the sniffles.
Yeah.
His tummy hurts.
It's like it's like the pandemic when crack kept saying, Parle's got the sniffles, and he just left town. Kyler Murray, I don't know. It's also with these bad teams, the strategies, like the Commodores. what they're doing with Brissett and Howell is very odd.
Right, yeah.
And now with the Cardinals, you want to, Commodores are set at the number three position, and they do play the Niners and the Cowboys, so there's less risk for them to actually win a game and ruin that draft position. With the Cardinals, they're locked into number two right now. I don't think they want to mess that up. So I don't know if it's going to be Kyler Murray. He hasn't practiced. Could be the old Clayton Toon show. So I took him. I took him plus the points, but now I'm a little worried about that. Buccaneers, same thing as the Ravens. I took him at minus three. This is the one I love the most on guessing lines because I had the Buccaneers at four. I took the Buccaneers at three, then was shocked to see it go to 2.5. Like, I don't get the Saints love. I don't.
Yeah.
So I got them twice.
I think the weirder one for me on this game is that I haven't joined you and Matt yet, and I don't know why. Something's like holding me back mentally because
that Todd Wright note yesterday was pretty interesting. Could be Mike Evans' last game with the Bucs. He needs 14. What does he need? 14 or two touchdowns? I don't know what he said exactly.
I don't remember what exactly was.
But basically, they know to feed the ball to Mike Evans, try to score some points to set the Buccaneers' all-time scoring record.
I mean, that's big, but what's bigger is winning the division, right?
Winning the division.
You double
course.
Up Mike Evans, you're going to be throwing it to whoever opens.
But I'm just saying, you know, add some stuff. Yes, they're trying to win the AFC South. They will be one step closer. Excuse me, the NFC South, pardon me. They're one step closer to doing that. And then I bought the Seahawks down to three.
Yeah, we jumped on this right away.
Early on guessing lines. So that's my other one that I like. You, sir.
Yeah, for me, let's see. I have some of the Browns carryover stuff from teasers as well. I did a Cowboys-Colts money line parlay is the way that I chose to attack that game tomorrow night. I might end up adding a little Cowboys on, too. I bet this, I think, when it was all sixes out there on the Cowboys. So now it's under six. I might add a little bit just on the pure Cowboys side, too. I don't think I've bet this Colts team once this entire season. I really don't think I have. I've always been that guy who hasn't really been as in love with them as others, but also just as well as they've been playing on the field and probably deserve a little bit more love. But I just don't trust the Raiders to come in, go into Indianapolis and pick up a big win after that victory last week against Kansas City. I understand the Raiders are still have a chance to make the playoffs, but it's slim. That felt like a massive win last week. Colts still with a lot to play for here. Do like them at home this week. Same thing with this is kind of a hedge, kind of not with the Panthers. That's why I included this with my Jags division tickets. When it was seven, I grabbed it. This Jaguars team, I've been sweating them out every single week with these Jags division tickets trying to get home. They are just... The defense is terrible, as Matt ran through earlier on the show. It has been terrible week after week. You're struggling with all these injuries on offense. I'm sorry, Panthers at that seven, I couldn't pass up at least taking a small piece of that. Ravens laid the three. Seahawks laid the three. Like both of those. Actually, really like both of those. And yeah, and then that one teaser, Browns and Packers.
Not listed for me. I do have a Browns-Jags teaser as well. We talked about that on the Megapod. Yeah. Todd Wright, what he was telling us, Mike Evans, 14 points to set the Bucs' all-time scoring record. So if you like Mike Evans props, that is something to keep in mind that they might be feeding him for that. Four more college bowl games today. One beginning in just over a half hour. Chris Velika next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
This week, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $150 in bonus bets instantly, and they'll get the NBA League Pass for the rest of the season. Download the app and use the promo code VSiN when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. We get tweets at Beating the Book. New Jersey, New York, NJNY says, okay, I have to bring this up. My favorite part in that Jason segment is that he did the Hall of Fame thing 15 years out for no reason other than to do it. It's fantastic. Eddie Vegan Runner. Kelly, you're on to something here, man. He goes,
right?
Gil and Kelly, I, too, am a postal worker.
Yeah, Eddie's been tweeting it forever.
Forever. Yeah. And listen every day at work. I was going to chime in last week during Jason's segment, but was beat to the punch. Thank you for keeping me entertained, and Happy New Year's to you all. Happy New Year to you as well. You're right, Kelly. If we have this many postal workers listen, I think this show has billions of listeners.
I mean, it's like 2% of all postal workers listen to a numbers
all
game.
2% of all living postal workers.
So clearly,
listen to this
extrapolate
show.
Extrapolate that across the... You know, United States with all listeners.
Kelly's got his own Nielsen service.
That's right. Yeah. Start up ratings.
Las Vegas 514. Yo, 9 years for Art Monk. What about the snub of the great Joe Jacoby? Hall of Fame. Get it right. Thank you, Las Vegas. That's the best tweet of the day. That's one of the great Hall of Fame snubs of all time, Kelly. That the greatest of all the Hogs, the greatest offensive line of the 80s, and one of the only offensive lines that even had a moniker like that, right? That was known.
Yeah, that had a
not even given a sniff. Russ Grimm, I believe, the only one from the Hogs to make the Hall of Fame. Come on. It's too late now, I guess. I guess he could do a veterans committee thing. But you know what that has to do with? Let me just last thing before we get to Felipe. That's because this just gets me upset.
Yeah.
Once at the Sloan Sports Analytics Conference, when I used to go to the Sloan Sports Analytics Conference, I think I've told this story before, at MIT, Peter King was there, right? The great Peter King, who I believe has an awards vote, or he definitely has Hall of Fame votes. And he was a Giants beat reporter for all those years when the Skins were great. And he wouldn't vote Art Monk in. I'm sure he didn't vote Joe Jacoby in, right? So he was like a Giants guy. They were rivals. He wouldn't vote Art Monk in, so I'm a little pisher. I go up to him and I go, why wouldn't you vote Art Monk in? I was like, do you think if you had all 22 footage and you saw that Monk, like the whole offense was based around Monk's success, that you would have thought differently? And he looked at me and he goes, you know what? You're right. Maybe I would have. Because he said he thought Gary Clark was the one that scared the Giants, which he did, but come on.
Anyway. I pulled up CBS has an article of the biggest snubs of all time so far.
Oh, okay.
Number one is Andre Johnson. Number two is Torrey Holt.
Both still eligible this year.
Number three, Ken Anderson. Four, Reggie Wayne. Five, Dwight Freeney.
Reggie Wayne and Dwight Freeney also still eligible.
Yeah.
The Ken Anderson never made it, the old Bengals quarterback. Where's Joe Jacoby on that list?
I'll search.
Still scrolling.
There was only like a top 25.
Still scrolling.
Yeah, they didn't go forever.
He should be in the top 25 for sure. Ladies and gentlemen, he is the Bear. He is also the Bear who's just coming off shoulder surgery. You know him from the Bear Bets Pod over at Fox Sports, college and pro football versions. His name is Chris Valleca. You can follow him on Twitter at Chris Valleca. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing well. I just got back from a post-op surgery appointment this morning where I got good news. But Kelly, I was very impressed before with your running down the Serie A betting splits. You must have liked, but your ears must have been ringing, because I actually was just firing in a little three-legged parlay here under Frosinone under 1.5 total goals against Lazio, Torino under 1.5 goals against Fiorentina, and Genoa under 1.5 goals against Inter Milan. That's minus 137.
Okay.
So,
wow.
Three teams that kind of have trouble scoring against three of the better defensive-minded teams in the league. So individually, they're all like way juiced that you probably wouldn't want to outlay the big on that. But put all three of those together, and it's minus 137. So there's a little something for you if you want to get by late morning, early afternoon, and be entertained while these ball games get going.
Boom. I was considering the Sassolo side. Sassolo.
Sassolo is tomorrow. Sassolo doesn't play today.
That's tomorrow. Sorry,
Chris. I didn't know what he said either. The best part of that was, first of all, Chris got in a bed before we could even have a conversation. Right, yeah. And two, when he said, I was very impressed by something you did, both of us looked at each other like, I wonder what the heck this could be.
Yeah, what the hell is he talking about?
Now it's not as impressive as Jason's 15-year perspective.
Oh, so great.
Pro Football Hall of Fame spreadsheet, but still, well done.
Every day with that kid, there's something new. It's amazing. 15-year out projections on the Hall of Fame. All right, Chris, this has been, I know that the bowl season is fakakta now. It was always a thing with you know, who's playing and who's not, who's motivated and who's not. And now with the transfer portal, college football definitely has an issue. But for those of us who watch every one of these, and I have watched every second of all of these, not every second, but as many as I could, and embedding all of these in game, it's kind of been great from a betting standpoint. We have four more today. Well, before you even get to the one that starts here in 25 minutes, did you believe college football has a problem? Am I right about that?
It's interesting that you said that, because I was having a conversation. I was texting Kirk yesterday, who he was getting ready. I was asking about the Jets game, and And we were watching the bowl games, and he was asking about Miami and such. And someone else had brought it up to me as well, and it was going back and forth. And I kind of wonder if we are at a little bit of a breaking point, because with the playoff expanding next year,
yeah,
you're getting more important games. And like, look, I get it. People watch these games, but you look at some of the attendance figures, and it's like, can ESPN, because they're the one that televised all these bowl games, it's program inventory for them. Like, what are the financial ramifications of like keeping the Birmingham Bowl alive or whatever bowl, the Mobile Bowl alive? Like, how much does that cost against what the advertising revenue and the ratings for those games compared to what they could put on? I'm sure the ratings and everything would be better than throwing on a sports center or around the horn or whatever they would put on. But I just wonder at some point how much money the networks can outlay to kind of keep these games alive, because that's really, in a lot of cases, the only things they've done. Now, games like the Alamo Bowl last night, where Arizona was wound up to be there and had over 50,000, that's fine. But some of these earlier December bowl games, I really wonder, with the playoff expanding, how much of an appetite there's going to be for those games.
Yeah. Well, let's start with this one that starts in a little over 20 minutes. It is the Gator Bowl, Tax Slayer Gator Bowl.
They help with their taxes.
Yeah, there you go. Nice job. By the way, that was the other thing we were wondering. Like, how much do some of these, like, how much did Wasabi have to pay to sponsor that bowl? Like, that's even, like, a question that I'm
wondering. Oh, I would love to know that information.
Yeah.
Yeah, for, like, each
bowl. Here's $5,000 for you.
Honestly, do you think it's, like, lower than we think?
It has to be like I was thinking about this as well. Like, if you are anything but like a food company, like, what kind of bang for your buck are you getting? I would love to know what Pop-Tart's revenue is today. Like, how many people like this morning ran out and were like, you know what, I'm gonna get some Pop-Tarts for my kids or Tostitos. Like it seems to like food and drink and beverage and things like that. Those are the sponsors I think you want. Like who knows about Wasabi?
Yeah.
Other than it's a mustard, a cloud storage system or whatever it is.
The Pop-Tarts people did pretty well yesterday. They did a good job.
Did you see the post-game? The post-game?
No, I didn't see it.
Like the celebration?
Beautiful. Oh, it was beautiful.
Oh.
It's like a fake toaster and some mascot goes
in. He comes out with his hands. I saw that.
No, a real massive Pop-Tart came out for them to share.
It's beautiful. All right, real quick, give us.
I gotta go out and get some Duke's mayo for my BLT for dinner.
Give us 90 seconds, pardon me, on Clemson and Kentucky Gator Bowl coming up at 12 noon Eastern.
I actually just jumped in on Clemson at -3.5. I mean, we've seen a lot of these games where there's been like ridiculous scheme on one side, and like the only one that I think wound up coming through and winning was USC the other day against that horrible Louisville team. But there was massive scheme on SMU the other day. There was massive scheme against UTSA. There were a couple other games where it was like, what are we doing with these lines?
No one knows a thing.
North Carolina got, and no one knows a thing. And like, look, it's hard to gauge like who's playing and motivation, but the way Clemson played in that Orange Bowl last year, that was an abomination. Look, I love Mark Stoops and I'm friendly with them, but they haven't beaten anybody worth a you-know-what this year. I mean, you look at their schedule, I mean, down the stretch, you beat Louisville, big deal, they stink, and you beat Mississippi State, but defensively, they're not the same team. I wonder, I know Clemson has some opt-outs on the defensive side of the ball, but once this number came down to 3.5, it appears like Kentucky is a very popular, trendy underdog. I'm like, you know what? I'm just gonna go take the Fez bridge too far theory and lay the 3.5 points.
Yeah, this is even down to 3 -120 at Caesars.
Wow. Chris, you stay over. We'll talk some more bowls on the other side.
Sure, absolutely.
You had an opportunity to say no and break the streak of me having poor radio.
No.
Coming back, more bowls with Chris Malika. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Enough.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event date, and more. Take the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand for VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. That's a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Sign up for only $9.99. That's $9.99 at vsin.com/subscribe. We get tweets at Beating the Book. And let me just say this as I say Happy New Year, as Kelly and I wish you and yours a Happy New Year. Thank you for all of the tweets each and every day, each and every week, each and every month on this show all year long. You are the best listeners of any show in the history of mankind.
Yes.
I believe I've done the research.
Especially the USPS.
Well, speaking of that, Mike Rose at On Point Wagers, he goes, just because we work for the post office don't mean we don't need to win bets while working.
Sure. I get that. Yeah.
Ben Grunwell, representing UPS workers who also listen to VSiN all day. Charlie D, USA number one. Happy New Year, guys. Happy New Year, guys. Always on point and ready to go. Wishing you continued health and happiness. You too, Charlie. Thank you. Yeah. Altus legend. Jacoby not being in the Hall of Fame is one of the biggest failures of the process.
Was number 15 on that list.
Thank you very much. Yeah. He should be number one. Motor City Mike, in five games since Flacco took over, Myles Garrett has 9 tackles, 1 sack, and has accounted for 0 turnovers. Should Joe Flacco be in consideration for Defensive Player of the Year? Without Flacco, the Browns would be on the outside looking in, and Garrett would be a non-factor in this award. Hockey Skeptic says he doesn't want any more sushi or eggnog tweets next year on the show.
Wow. I don't think the sushi's going to stop. But
I don't think the sushi's going to stop.
I'm okay with the eggnog one stopping.
Hockey Skeptic, great dude. He doesn't want
I miss eggnog. Sort of.
Ian McDonald. Many of these bowl games cost the school money despite the payouts. They're also on the hook for buying a certain number of tickets and then turning around and selling them. And Greg Jones tweets in. We should have started the show with this, but I'm glad you tweeted in, Greg. Greg Jones is L.A. Joneser. He's one of the 4 remaining Survivor contestants. He says, with the proliferation of legal weed, how much of any bump in Pop-Tart sales can be attributed to that versus bowl sponsorship? Greg, good luck to you this weekend. Good luck to the other 3 participants, Circus Master, Indiana Jet, and Jax Jags. One can only assume, you know what they say about assuming, makes you look like a stooge.
Yes, that's what they say. That's absolutely what they say.
Makes you and the other person look like stooge. Circus Master, one can only assume, took Cleveland last night. I think that's a safe assumption. We don't know that.
And reports of a chop.
The chop, so the save, as Greg called it, has happened. So it's not an even chop of $2.3 million each.
Right.
It's somewhere in the 1.5 range, as I understand it, give or take. I don't know how they negotiated that.
It's a little lower than what I saw, but okay. Yeah, I mean, neither of us know.
We weren't there. I just know there is some kind of deal like that, and they're playing for the remaining roughly $3 million.
Okay.
So cooler heads have prevailed.
I like that number. I like that. That's a good split number.
Now, what's interesting, though, is how they're going to play it moving forward, because you think, oh, they'll just play it the same way. I'm hearing they're not playing it the same way. Like they have, that they've always done. Now that they have, it's funny what it does to you. Now that there's money guaranteed.
We were talking about that pre-show one of the crew.
Like at least one of the 4 is going to go nuts.
They're going to go rogue, yeah.
Yeah. Because now they're playing with house money, as they say, playing with gravy in this. So congratulations, Greg. Congratulations to the remaining 4 guys who are in this. Chris Felica, kind enough to join us for a second segment. Chris, what about the other 3 bowl games today beyond the Gator Bowl, which kicks off here in about 10 minutes? What do you like today?
The only I had played the Sun Bowl under 46.5 way back when, getting ahead of the anticipated opt outs, which now it's down to 40. So like I'm not just gonna try and figure out to jump back in and maybe get myself a nice little middle. The only other thing I did play today that I think is still available, I played the Iowa State team total over 34.5. It's a young offense that got better as the year went on. You saw them in that snow game go crazy against Kansas State and put up 45 points. This is the Memphis defense that hasn't been able to stop anybody all year long. So I put Iowa State team total over 34.5. And the other thing that I did look at that's available in the Sun Bowl, and I have not made the bet yet, Oregon State team total under 17.5. It's -140 at DraftKings. I just don't know how they're scoring points. The coaching staff is gone. The players are gone. Quarterbacks, like, everybody's gone. Like, I don't know how they're scoring points in this game. So I may wind up pressing the button here on a Oregon State team total under 17.5.
All right, tomorrow there is one NFL game. The NFL giving us 10 games in the early window Sunday, which is just ridiculous. They couldn't have put one more game tomorrow. So there's one NFL game. There's four more College Bowl games, including Ole Miss and Penn State and Georgia, Florida State, which is for the national championship. Oh, wait, no, I'm being told it's not. That game is there as well. What do you like tomorrow in any of those four games?
Well, now, here's an instance where I played Ole Miss +4.5 way back when, anticipating a bunch of opt-outs and announcements from Penn State. I know Chop Robinson's out, but you can actually get 6 right now over at the Superbook with Ole Miss and 5 pretty much everywhere else. I would take Ole Miss. I think the way that they ended their year last year, they got embarrassed in that bowl game. I don't think they've had any opt-outs. I have not heard or seen of any. Like, Penn State's offense is not good. And maybe with coordinator change, and they'll just do something different in the ballgame. But Ole Miss, if you can head over to see Mr. Murray's and Cornaday over at the Superbook there, I might hop in and grab Ole Miss +6 over there. Like I guess that's a better number than I got. So but I read the line incorrectly. And I don't know how many points Florida State's going to be able to score in this game tomorrow. You look at the offensive depth chart, there's basically nobody of any consequence remaining on that depth chart. From my understanding, Georgia cares about this game. They have not had any opt-outs. I know Bowers and Mims and McConkey have been hurt. We don't know for sure if they're going to play. But I think the fact that Georgia, from what I've heard, it cares about this game. Like, this could be one of those games you look up, and it could be 41-10 Georgia. So I'd look maybe for a Florida State team total in that game and go under.
41 Georgia wrecks them. 20.5 is the spread on that game now.
I think they wreck them. I think Georgia. Yeah. I think Georgia probably does care. I think they're probably a little mad about being left out. They got something to prove, and Florida State's just. I mean, what do you?
They had the Keon Coleman thing come across the crawl that he's, you know, opting for the NFL draft.
I tweet about how did that take so long, Chris?
Well, and I thought about what you were saying, which is they made Coleman and Verse play all these games, risking millions of dollars, thinking they could win a national championship.
Yes. Yeah.
It's so brutal.
No shot. Keon Coleman's
I was going to say, on that note, it's interesting because remember last year we had this conversation, I think, on the air about, like, why are Bryce Young and Will Anderson playing the Sugar Bowl, a meaningless game that means nothing? They're not playing for the national title. And they played, and they played great, and they blew out Kansas State in that game. Like, we all thought they would opt out, and they didn't. We got stuck on bad numbers. Like, it says something about the culture of the programs at Alabama and Georgia that these guys who could opt out, they've hung around and they stayed and they played in these games that don't necessarily mean national title type ramifications. You wonder why these teams are in the playoff basically every year and winning 11 games. It's because of the culture that Kirby Smart and Nick Saban have built. I know that's sports talk radio-ish there, but being that you kind of open the door with the
it's allowed. We'll allow it.
We'll allow it.
And then Monday, finally, of course, 5 games, including the 2 national invitational semis. What do you like? Remind folks what you like there.
I like Texas -4. I think you can make a very good argument that Texas is the best team remaining in the playoff. I think they can beat you the most number of ways on the offensive side of the ball. I think the Texas front 7 is going to be the best front 7 that Washington has faced all year. And I wonder if Sweat and those guys are going to be able to get a push up the middle and kind of disrupt Michael Penix's timing. Now, if they don't, they can be vulnerable on the outside and through the air, and Washington does have good wide receivers. But I just wonder if UW's going to be able to stand up to that 12 personnel that Texas runs out there with the 1 back and 2 tight ends, and you just run it right at it, because they have to adjust and they have to play big up front and play man on the outside against Worthy and A.D. Mitchell. That's going to be a problem. So I like Texas -4 here. You give Sark a month to scheme something up. We've seen what he's done in the past at Alabama as a coordinator with time to prepare. I like that. And I like Alabama. I think I like the under more. I have not made a bet on either of those yet. So I just haven't ultimately decided which way I'm going to go. But Alabama and under would be the way I'm looking at it right now. It worries me a little bit because I thought by this time this line would have flipped and Alabama would be favored. It reminds me a little bit of 2017 where Clemson was number one, Alabama was number four. Alabama was favored over Clemson in that Sugar Bowl game, that Kelly Bryant Clemson team.
Chris.
And they just smothered them. I think it was like 24-3 or something like that.
We got to run. I appreciate it. Happy New Year. Hope the shoulder feels better, sir.
Thank you, sir. Be well. Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year to you and yours. Best Bets is next. Enjoy from Visa, the Sports Betting Network.